Welcome to the Reclamation Nation, where we help you reclaim control of your health and wellness. I'm Coach Ryan, a certified personal trainer, health coach, and former military physical trainer with certifications in orthopedic exercise, longevity, wellness, fitness, nutrition, and behavioral change. I have over 30 years in the fitness industry.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer. I'm a practicing pharmacist, health coach, and certified functional medicine specialist. I have over 10 years of personal and professional experience in the health and wellness field.
Our goal is to raise awareness about the responsibility and potential you have in managing your own health.
As a reminder, nothing in this podcast is designed to diagnose, treat, or cure health illnesses, but is presented as educational and entertainment material. Please consult your personal healthcare provider with any specific needs.
Welcome back, guys. This is Reclamation Nation. I am Ryan, and this is Jennifer.
Hello, everyone.
And today we are talking about minimalism. We're talking about decluttering. We're talking about a lot of stuff, but mostly just enjoying and appreciating every moment that you're alive. And this came up between us talking because of a story that broke out of a very, dare I mention the name, out of the Disney theme park here in Orlando. People were standing in line for, what was it, seven or eight hours. And they were standing in line for popcorn.
Well, not just any popcorn, Ryan. This was a Figment popcorn bucket. And I don't mean just a figment of your imagination, although that is the character. It's just a plastic popcorn bucket in the shape of a very cute, very sweet little purple dragon. And if you've been to Disney, sure, you love him. I love him. But let's be real. You spend your money to get to Disney. You've probably gone through all your planning to get your day kind of on point. You've got everything mapped out, your whole agenda.
And that's not cheap.
No, not at all. It's actually gotten more expensive, but there's, you know, there's the park ticket and then there's parking and you've got meals, etc. But what kind of bugged me about this whole situation is how many people were willing to spend 8 hours of their time at a park in one spot for one item versus all the rides you could have ridden, all the shows you could have seen.
Yep.
People are getting engaged constantly at Disney. There's babies celebrating their first birthday. There are milestone anniversaries being had all around you. And they missed out on all of that for a popcorn bucket.
But they got it. They got a purple dragon popcorn bucket.
Most people didn't, even after waiting all that time. And that's what's sad. You spent all that time in line to purchase an item that probably in a couple months is not going to mean anything to you. And that's kind of the whole point of this episode is things.
The acquisition of unnecessary things.
Right. I'm talking about living minimalist. And of course, it's a very general term and people are trying to assign a very specific definition to it. And it's not fair to do so because minimalism is different for everyone.
So if you're familiar with the minimalists, Joshua Fields Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus, they go by and have written books and produced movies under the title The Minimalists. And they each have a very compelling story as to why they are now living this lifestyle. And I was very much taken by their stories. But even they will tell you that if you have, let's say you collect books and you really enjoy having those books and they bring a lot of value to your life because you read them and you can pass them on and you can share them, then we're not asking you to get rid of your books. Nobody's telling you you have to get rid of things that are really bringing joy into your life. But we are talking about only maintaining the things. And we say things, it could be relationships, and it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, but it could be a relationship, whether it's business or romantic or platonic. It could be a job. It could be anything. When you are expending more energy in maintaining that thing than it is bringing you in joy, then why are you keeping it?
Exactly. So the whole point is there's nothing wrong with having stuff. It's about removing the excess. Right. We all have things. We all have clothes and shoes and accessories, things that we need for our day-to-day lives. You've got, you know, silverware and plasticware, what have you, in your kitchen. Obviously, you need to eat off of something. No one is saying you can't have those things. They obviously serve a very, you know, a very important purpose in your day-to-day routine. Those don't necessarily bring you joy, but they are essentials.
Right, right. Yeah, we're not telling you to be a Buddhist monk. Buddhist monks, and I actually had to look this up because I had forgotten, are allowed very very little stuff. And the reason I mention this is because you had said earlier, this is not a new concept.
Not at all. This has been around basically since, I feel like, the beginning of...
The Buddhist monks are allowed to have three robes, a simple possession such as a cup or a bowl. They're allowed a razor. They're allowed a filter to keep flies and stuff out of their water. And an alms bowl, which is used for basically for begging, but it's not begging in the sense, because this is a very traditional thing over there. They walk around and they collect money. That's how, because they're not allowed to work. That's how they keep food on the table, basically, is through alms. It's not always money, but most of the time it's for money. That's all they're allowed to have. That's it. It's against the nature of every human to consume more than is necessary for survival. So how do people get on the road to acquisition of unnecessary stuff? What do you think puts them there?
I mean, there's different examples I can think of. We've mentioned in the past trauma, when there's some sort of sadness or loss or heartbreak. That feeling of loss leaves this emptiness inside that we feel we need to fill and satisfy in order to feel whole and complete again.
What, there's a term for that. What is it?
Retail therapy. I'm guilty. I know a lot of us are. We think that by buying something trendy or expensive or very elite will make us feel better. And sure, in the moment it does. There's scientific proof behind it. You get all this, almost like the runner's high. You get this boost of endorphins, and mentally and emotionally in the moment you feel better. But over span of only, let's say, even a few hours or days or months of having that item, you starting to feel that sense of loss again. And that's because you didn't actually address the trauma and the emotions. You just kind of put a Band-Aid on it.
And a lot of times it actually leads to greater guilt, because now you feel guilty about buying that thing when you come to the realization that it didn't really do what it was supposed to do for you.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So I think marketing is another place where we're just like the popcorn bucket. We are told that you really want this. No, you really need this.
Right.
So come get this.
Oh, and by the way, we're only making enough for the first, let's say, 100 people. So you need to come get it right now and fast.
Right. Yes. Limited time offers are one of the biggest marketing ploys to get people to buy stuff. If you think that you might miss, it's FOMO, fear of missing out. If you feel like you might miss out on this, then I better buy it now.
That's correct.
The fact is, if you don't need it, and that's what you were saying before, was that you look at the need versus the want, right?
Correct. So let's say I'll take myself as an example. I go to the store often. I like to window shop sometimes, or there's something I have in mind that I would like. I just haven't done, let's say, all the research. I go to the store anticipating that I'm going to find that item. In the meantime, and Target is very much known for this, you walk in with the intent to buy one thing, you come out with 30 other things, and you forget that one thing that you went for.
Right.
Those are impulse
buys. All the time.
But when I'm in the store now, and because I have certain goals and ways of living now, I'm a lot more conscious of how I'm spending my money, and I will probably find something I like. I'll pick it up. I'll kind of meander the store for a while, holding on to it. Maybe not even thinking about it so much in the moment until I've acquired everything else I need. And then I stop and look at that thing and I'm like, I really want this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want this. Now, do I need this? Is this something I absolutely have to have? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. So I'll end up putting it back. Am I sad in the moment? Absolutely. But when I get home, it's kind of already out of sight, out of mind. I'm not even thinking about that thing anymore, because if I was still thinking about it and I wake up the next day and it's still on my mind, and a week later it's still on my mind, then I'll probably go back to the store and say, okay, I did need this.
Right.
But in that absolute moment, if we pause long enough to just stop and process and think it through, you'll probably end up putting it back on the shelf.
A lot of times I'll look at this and I'll think to myself, what do I have at home that's already like this? Or what am I going to do with this once that thing is done? It takes a lot of discipline to be able to do that, to hold on to something, put it in your cart, and actually go around the store with it. And then before you get up to the checkout, just kind of look at it and go, this is that thing I was a little iffy on. Do I really need this? And if not, just go put it back. Trauma, obviously, trying to fill the void.
Mm-hmm.
Did we already say that one?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, that thing doesn't work. Marketing is another thing. Trying to get you, but I think programming is different from marketing, and programming can be done. We are socially programmed to get more, because if we don't have more, then we're not good enough. It's a matter of self-worth versus perceived worth. We want to be perceived as being worth more, so we buy stuff we don't need. We acquire homes we don't need. We acquire cars we don't need. There's all this, you know, we maintain relationships on a business level, a personal level that we don't necessarily enjoy. They don't bring us joy, but we do it because we want to be perceived as being successful. Would you agree with most of that?
I do. I think another important thing that kind of ties into all that is living with intent. What are you gaining by comparing yourself to other people and trying to outnumber them, outstuff them, like have more than the guy next to you? What are you really gaining? Is it anything personal? Is there any growth behind it? Is there any true satisfaction aside from bragging rights that, haha, I beat you to it?
Right. Outstuff them. I'm going to use that again. I'm trying to outstuff them.
I mean, when I'm talking about minimalism, again, there's different definitions for everyone. There are the nuns and the monks who live on one very extreme of the spectrum. Then you have other people who live a little bit more nomadic, have maybe 10 personal items that they wear in a backpack and travel the country and just live off of the bare minimum. Then you have people like myself who I just stopped acquiring things that I already had and started to get rid of things that I didn't need anymore or realized that I wasn't using within a certain time frame. So I kind of used my SMART goals in a sense to downsize a lot of the things in my life. This all came about in the past 2.5 years when I ended up moving twice. So I've had to pack all of my things and haul them across to another home and unpack them. And in that process of packing, I realized I've got all these clothes from like over 7 years of, you know, from working and being in different job settings. And I realized, okay, this doesn't apply to my job setting right now. I've been with the same company for 3 years and I don't need a lot of these business clothes or a lot of, you know, certain accessories. And if I'm not going to use them within 6 months of me moving into this new place, then that means they don't serve a purpose in my life right now.
Right.
Someone else can gain from that. There is someone out there right now who needs this today. So why am I going to even wait another 6 months? Since I've lived where I'm living now, I've already packed up and donated, I think, 3 times. And I still every day think of something else that I can get rid of. And I say get rid of in, it sounds harsh. I give gratitude to the things that I've brought into my life because I buy usually with intent for the most part.
Right.
There are things that served a very temporary purpose. And then there are things that I bought for the long haul. And it's a good idea to buy for quality over quantity. You don't necessarily need that thing, but if you're going to buy that thing, make sure that it's of good quality because you want it to last. No one says you have to keep it forever, but you definitely want to invest in something of good quality. Now with that, I've gotten to a point where I kind of just give it to the next person. I don't like to use the word hand-me-downs because I'm a middle child and it just has a negative connotation.
Hey, but I'm the youngest and I had a lot of them.
Ouch. But yeah, someone in this present day needs something that I'm not using. Why not pay it forward? That's the better choice of words. Pay it forward.
Put it to use for someone. What are some of the items that would you think are most commonly acquired or kept or... Because it's not all about acquisition. Sometimes it's about maintenance. Sometimes it's about holding on to things, even though their time has passed. Or holding on to clothes that you wore in high school because you had a really great time in high school. And then you went to college and you had a really great time in college. So now you've got clothes from high school and from college. And then you had your first job and it was a nice job. So you have clothes that you kept from your first job. And so these clothes are just piling up and filling your closet over and over.
I'm really trying not to laugh right now, but I have my own personal examples. I kept my, up until last year, 2021, I think, I kept my middle school cheerleading uniform just because at 34 years old, I was able to still fit in it. So it's kind of just a trophy, but eventually I realized it's time to let it go. It would make for a very cute Halloween costume for someone or what have you. I ended up donating it finally. Another example was my baptism outfit from my christening, I guess you would call it, when I was not even a year old, maybe just a year old. My mom held on to it and then she gave it to me when I moved out and bought my first home. And I've been just packing it and taking it with me everywhere I go. Right. And I'm like, Mom, I will literally never fit in this again. I don't know why I'm holding on to it. It's cute, but I need to let it go.
I just recently got rid of, and I mean got rid of, because it really couldn't be of any use to anybody else, my Navy uniform top.
Oh, wow.
My Navy, what we call the blouse, my Navy blues blouse. I kept the shoulder tab off of it, and I kept the Liberty cuffs. They're cuffs that go on the inside of the, they're sewn on the inside of the cuff. So when you go out on Liberty, you roll your cuffs up, and it's a really cool thing. But anyway, I got out of the Navy in 1989, and I still had that. I know, you were 3 years old. And
I'm not doing math.
So, but it's difficult to let some of those things go because we had such a great time. And I think that, anyway, I don't know where I was going with that, but I think that clothes are one of the things that are most readily maintained, and they just take up room, and they just fill our closets or fill boxes. You know, I know people who have had stuff since 19 to the late 80s, early 90s, boxes full of stuff that they just can't seem to part with. They just can't seem to get rid of. How can people deal with the issue of this clutter and of holding on to stuff?
I feel like a lot of it starts with being mindful, and it goes back to intent. You want to pause in your everyday life and really just kind of look around your immediate environment. And you can go room by room. You can go drawer by drawer. Take stock of what you have and really assess it. Assign it value. Is it something that you readily use? Is it something that you need or that someone else may need at the time? How does it make you feel? If it doesn't spark joy, literally bring a smile to your face.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't have to stay in your life.
Right. I want to point out that there is research on this. And I'm going to read this directly because I tried to memorize this. This is not going to happen. But in 2011, neuroscience researchers using functional magnetic resonance imaging and other physiological measurements found clearing clutter from the home and work environment resulted in better ability to focus and better ability to process information, as well as increased productivity. It goes on to state that physical and mental health can be affected. Clutter can make you feel stressed, anxious, and depressed. I will vouch for all of that.
Same.
Research from the United States in 2009, for instance, found the levels of stress hormone cortisol were higher in mothers whose home environment was cluttered. A chronically cluttered home environment can lead to constant low-grade fight-or-flight response, taxing the resources designed for survival. So we lose the ability to process information. We lose the ability to act on the information once we process it. So there are very physical maladies that can come as a result of a cluttered or overly cluttered home. What else you got?
One of the things I really like about minimalism is what it leads to. So obviously we keep talking about having less stuff. It's not just about having less stuff. The reason behind having less stuff is that you're acquiring less. So you're not spending as much money. You have less clutter. When you have less things in your possession, you need less storage. So you ultimately can have less amount of furniture or the need for storage bins or boxes or closet space, things of that nature. So you're really getting rid of the clutter, you're lessening the noise, you're getting rid of a lot of the distractions. What is lying around you is a visible distraction, which leads to mental clutter and chaos. Your thoughts are never really in tune with where you are in the moment. You're not being mindful. So it affects your relationships with the people around you. And what greater joy can there be in life than actually spending time with your loved ones? Granted, you can be spending time with them playing video games, sure. But do you really need that?
Right.
Are there other ways of engaging with people and enjoying life to the fullest? You can go out and probably find one of the greatest joys just in your backyard. You may not even be paying attention to what views you have in your surroundings because you're too busy surrounded by, you know, physical objects that are really just standing in your way. It literally takes up space in your room. It throws off the energy because if you have, for example, we live in an apartment, is a little bit more of a confined space. So you've got laundry baskets in the way, you've got furniture that's kind of bulky. By downsizing a lot of that, there's less physical clutter around you. There's more space, more openness for you to be free physically and then ultimately mentally.
And I think it's fair to state that, you know, the furniture that we have here does not, it's not like we're living on folding chairs and a picnic table, you know, so there's nice furniture in the home. It doesn't mean you can't have nice things. It doesn't mean that you have to live, you know, on the far end of it. And we've said this before, but I just want to reiterate that you can have nice things. It's the clutter. It's the effect of the clutter on your brain, on your ability, on you physically and mentally, that we're trying to help people understand. You can do away with the stuff. You can hand it off and feel good about handing it off. You can donate it and feel good about donating it. You can sell it and make money off of it, whatever it is you want to do. But having that clutter in your home does not help you in the long run. And if I may briefly just talk about from a training standpoint, mm-hmm. one of my mentors, I'll mention him by name because he's worth it. Gary Anger had told me one point that you can get results from a rock if you do it right. If you know what you're doing, you can get good results from a rock, meaning that you don't need a lot of fancy equipment, a lot of fancy exercises. You don't need to compare yourself to other people. You know, I don't know how many times I've had people come in, show me a picture on the internet and say, this is what I want to look like. And it's just that comparison, which we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. you know, the social programming, where I feel like I have to look like this, but you don't. You are a unique individual. You're a unique genetic specimen, and nobody else in the world is going to look like you. Even your twin is not going to look like you exactly. So if we can do away with this social programming and the mistake of I need to look like what everybody else says I need to look like, it's going to make it easier when it comes to our homes to say, okay, well, if I'm unique and I appreciate every minute of every repetition that I'm doing in the gym, then maybe I can appreciate every minute outside the gym too. The easiest way to do that is to just remove all of the clutter and just appreciate really what you have and where you're at and who you are.
And living in the moment.
Living in the moment. What else you got?
That's it. It's an episode on minimalism. Less is more,
right? Less is more. Okay. Good job. Where can people find you?
My website is drjenniferfernandez.com or on my Facebook at Your Holistic Wellness LLC and Instagram at Dr. Jenny Marie.
And you can find me on my new website at ryanricefitness.com. You can find me on Instagram at train_tacletics. And that is all we got.
Thank you for listening, folks. And we look forward to seeing you next week.